It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome into the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates, and I am your host. I can be found on Twitter at KyleYNFL. I am joined today by Travis May. He is over at RotoViz. He does everything over there. NFL, college football, Devi. You can find his work on Twitter at FF_TravisM. Travis, thank you so much for taking some time. Man, you are like NFL. I talk about college football, Devi. This just must be like heaven on earth for you the past couple weeks here.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And thanks for having me, man. Yeah, this time of year is fantastic because you have about 100 college games and NFL games together every single week because every team's playing every single week. So it's just constant action. So much information to just process. But as much as it can be overwhelming, it's always entertaining.
I'm sure that your TV is just like on 24/7, like throughout the weekend. Like it's just on, or just 24 hours just does not turn off. You got college football, NFL. That's fantastic, man. Well, I'm excited to have you on and talk through the buy low players, the sell high players after week one of the NFL season. We'll get into the format here and we'll talk about that in just a second. Before we get into that, though, I want to remind everyone that we have the Javonte Williams signed helmet giveaway going on courtesy of our friends at Pristine Auction. To learn more about this giveaway, head over to fantasypros.com/dynasty contest. Again, that is fantasypros.com/dynasty contest for a Javonte Williams signed Denver Broncos helmet giveaway. All right. So what I wanted to do here as we move into the season, again, we're rotating through guests here and bringing on several different fantastic minds in the dynasty fantasy football space. And what I wanted to do is go back to my roots and how I got my start in the industry was writing for the Fantasy Footballers, writing a dynasty weekly guide, recapping some of the players that you should be buying low in dynasty leagues, the players that you should be selling high. And so I wanted to take that and bring it into the podcasting format here. So what I'm going to do here, Travis, is let's go and let's talk about some of these players that we were looking to sell high, players that had good performances here in week one, but we might not necessarily buy into it completely. And we want to take advantage of their sky high value here to start the year. So I'm going to give this to you. You are our guest here. So who is the first player that you want to talk about that you are looking to sell high in dynasty leagues?
I think the first one, maybe it's just because I'm a spiteful Titans fan, but Corey Davis, immediately leaves town, goes to the New York Jets, and was like, hey, guys, I know I've been, you know, just okay for my entire rookie contract, but I'm going to go score 2 touchdowns in my first game as a New York Jet. And that's fun, and that's great. But, you know, he actually only had 7 targets in the game. And this was in a spot where, you know, Jameson Crowder's out. His only real threat for targets is a rookie, and a rookie that I like nonetheless. But he didn't have a lot of competition for targets and still only saw 7. So, yeah, great game. Probably the best game of his year this year with 97 yards and a couple scores. But I'm looking to sell off because, you know, like these second contract guys, some of them do pop. We've seen that in years past. I think one of the best examples is Robert Woods, you know, like guys who didn't do a bunch in the rookie contract.
Right.
And fresh situation. They do great. You can sell somebody on that. So Corey Davis, I'm not going to buy that he's going to see enough volume to make him a really trustworthy option moving forward.
All right, so in our ECR for Dynasty rankings over at fantasypros.com, I want to talk really quick about Corey Davis and see who you would be willing to move him for. So Corey Davis at wide receiver 47 in our Dynasty rankings, would you be looking to like acquire, would you trade him straight up for someone like Michael Pittman Jr. or Elijah Moore? Let's go with the same offense. Let's just stick there. Yep. Elijah Moore in Dynasty. Would you rather have Elijah Moore? Or would you rather have Corey Davis?
Absolutely would rather have Elijah Moore. And it's funny, Elijah Moore actually still almost had 100 air yards. He struggled, you know, to actually reel in the targets in his first action. I think 1 of 4 this week, so not great. And the one catch he did have was for negative yards, so right. not fantastic. But a really productive guy that I liked in college, going to be just the very next Ole Miss wide receiver. You know, AJ Brown, DK Metcalf. Now it's going to be Elijah Moore. So I'm thinking he sees more volume. Corey Davis sees less. Moving forward, yeah, I would make that move.
Yeah, and that's a perfect opportunity. I don't know if Elijah Moore is one of your buy low players, but that's a perfect opportunity to what we're talking about here with Corey Davis. Sell high on the opportunity, what he did here in week one. You're not completely buying in that he's going to score 2 touchdowns every single week. So we are buying into that value and acquiring someone who did not come out and impress in their first performance here. It's his first game of his rookie season. Let's pump the brakes here. I'm sure there are going to be people that play short-term and Dynasty, have that short-term mindset, and they're willing to move Elijah Moore. So for me, I'm going to go with a player who, this one could come back to bite me, man. Like, this is a new offense here with Shane Waldron. I know that we could, it looked fantastic. I know that Tyler Lockett could absolutely just go on a tear this year. But this big performance is what we have come to know from Tyler Lockett in years past. And we still know that he is one of the most inconsistent fantasy options here over the past couple of seasons. But again, this is a new offense. So there's the possibility that he could actually be a dominant, inconsistent wide receiver too. I just don't know if I want to buy into that just yet here after week one. So with Tyler Lockett and the and Tyler Lockett, the performance that he put up here, 2 touchdowns, which he looked fantastic. But DK Metcalf barely involved in this one, right? At least through the first half. I mean, first half, he didn't even have a catch. DK Metcalf fantasy managers were panicking, and he came through at least with a solid stat line in the end. That's not always going to be the case. You're going to have Tyler Lockett with the 5 for 60 line, and then DK Metcalf with the 2 touchdown performances here. So Tyler Lockett at age 28, he's someone that I am looking to sell off here, sell high. I don't want to deal with that volatility. I want to be able to ship him off for a more consistent wide receiver. All right, let's go back to you for your second sell high player here.
Sure, and it's another guy in a new, fresh spot that, you know, some people could overreact and say, oh my gosh, he's really going to smash in his second contract. And, you know, maybe people are a little bit less confident with running backs in their second contract, but Jamal Williams with the Lions, I think a lot of people were frustrated that he got as much work when DeAndre Swift has been everyone's favorite running back. And, you know, dating back to even just last year coming into the draft process, a lot of people were super high on DeAndre Swift coming out of Georgia. But Jamal Williams, we've seen who he is, you know, like he can be a really capable running back 2 or running back 3 on his own team. But for fantasy football purposes, I'm not really going to trust in him. So if somebody's going to say, oh, again, same kind of situation. He's in a new spot. He was targeted 9 times. He had like 100+ yards and, you know, 25 fantasy points this week. I'm just going to, you know, target the win now approach and go see if I can lowball somebody for Jamal Williams. But I'm okay selling for a really high, quote unquote high, but not even selling for a whole lot because he only saw 9 carries and he's not going to average 6 yards per carry all season. That's just not going to happen. That's not who Jamal Williams is. That's not who he's going to be. And DeAndre Swift was the guy that I'm going to be targeting because he was, you know, running a route on 60 to 70% of all of the pass plays for the Lions, not Jamal Williams. And so I think he got a bunch of junk time work because the Lions are going to be bad. They're going to be coming from behind all season, whatever. But I'm not trusting in that long term.
Well, number two option on my list was also Jamal Williams for exactly the same reasons that you mentioned here, man. Like Jamal Williams, I think that this offense, well, first off, let's just say like Jared Goff, for as much as the Detroit Lions are probably going to be playing from behind this season, he's probably not going to throw 57 pass attempts every single game, which is what he had yesterday. So that is just, that's not going to happen. And where Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift really made their hay was with their target totals. And so not necessarily what they did on the ground, right? You mentioned only nine carries, like the workload wasn't there for Jamal Williams. So I think with a player that, you know, people are going to look at the performance, they're going to look at the final stat line, they're not going to recognize that that came from a lot of garbage time production. Jamal Williams, a fine dynasty RB3, like maybe RB4 to have on your roster, yeah. But we can expect this type of performance from him every single week. So I wanted to, one of the players that I was thinking about, like, would be in that conversation that I'd be willing to trade Jamal Williams for, and I want your opinion on this, is Miles Gaskin. Miles Gaskin, the Miami Dolphins running back, came out and had the majority of the opportunity to share here in this offense. Now, it was up against the New England Patriots defense. He didn't necessarily perform super, super well, was able to make contributions through the air, right? Five catches, I think, off the top of my head, like, was involved here, but I expect better days ahead for Miles Gaskin. Is that a trade that you'd be willing to make? Jamal Williams, who is at running back 46 in our dynasty ECR, all the way up to Miles Gaskin, who is at RB28. Is that a trade that you kind of be looking?
Yeah, I would, because again, he had in this week, he had more work, quote unquote work, that, you know, we can maybe trust moving forward. At least you can make an argument for that than Miles Gaskin. Gaskin only had 14 touches, but he did have the five targets and hauled in all of them. I was high on Gaskin, even digging back to his college days at Washington.
I really liked his tape, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was a four-year starter stud, and he was one of the most productive running backs in all of college football 4 years in a row. And so it's no surprise he's finding success now. So, yeah, you get a younger player in a spot to probably out-touch him easily the rest of the way down the stretch. So yeah, if you can pull something like that, yeah, I would go for that. Just no hesitation.
For sure. All right. Well, I'll go with my third option here as the sell high player, and then we'll go back to you for your third, since I did have Jamal Williams there as my second player as well. It's Leonard Fournette here for me. And I granted this one, probably you're not probably going to be able to get like a huge haul for Leonard Fournette, right? Because people that watched the Thursday night football game, they saw that, you know, Fournette did come in and he did see the majority of the carries in against Dallas after Ronald Jones fumbled. Like, so there is a narrative here, though, that you can take and spin where you can say, okay, well, Ronald Jones probably not going to be involved all that much here in the Tampa Bay backfield. Now that he had that fumble, we didn't see him. And Leonard Fournette, for, you know, he really didn't do a ton on the ground, was involved as a receiver. Like, there's a narrative and a path here for how you can flip this, right? So Leonard Fournette, it's mostly just, I don't want any pieces of this backfield. I really don't, because there is the very strong possibility that we come out here in week two and Ronald Jones is just right back in the like running back one spot. Like, it's very, very possible here. We've seen it happen before. So with Leonard Fournette, he's a guy that I really, if I still have him on my dynasty roster, this is the point where you sell. Like, I just don't want a piece of this Tampa Bay Buccaneers running or backfield just because it's so unpredictable. The consistency, the usage, I just don't know what I'm going to get. And I want that kind of certainty that I'm going to have moving forward. A player that I would be willing, maybe not after his performance here, but a guy that you could, again, flip the narrative and spin a narrative, Daryl Henderson, right? He's a one-year starter. You're going to have Cam Akers probably come back next year. He's going to be, you know, Daryl Henderson will be relegated to an RB2 role there on that backfield. But Leonard Fournette, I think you could make that trade for Daryl Henderson, where people believe that Fournette is going to be a guy moving forward next year, where we actually don't have that guarantee. We don't know where Fournette's going to be next year. So I think that is something that I am willing to look at to be able to move Leonard Fournette off my roster. This is the point to sell now. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, with Leonard Fournette, not just Ronald Jones, but Giovanni Bernard actually got in a bunch of work. He was seeing some snaps. So this whole backfield, I think, is going to be really frustrating all season long. So I just don't really want to trust it in any given week. This is maybe a good spot for best ball leagues, but not for leagues that you're setting your roster every single week at all.
For sure. All right, let's go to your third sell high player, and then we'll move on to some buy low targets.
Sure. You mentioned Jared Goff, and that was, maybe it's just I'm hating on the Lions, but he's not going to throw the ball 60 right. times per week. And so he was going to be the guy, but we kind of already talked about him. That's not going to be Jared Goff. He's not efficient. He was way down low, almost dead last in yards per attempt, really. Like, the only reason he wasn't was just because of the junk time surge late. So definitely moving off Jared Goff. But I play in a bunch of super flex leagues where you can start more than one quarterback. So I'm thinking of, like, how can I pivot to a better, more trustworthy quarterback all the time? And so I'm looking around and thinking, okay, I'm not also not trusting Kirk Cousins' volume from this past week. And I'm not trusting the post-LASIK James Winston with right. five touchdowns on just 20 pass attempts. We're not. So if there's ever going to be a sell high window for James Winston, it's right now.
Yeah, I joked on the waiver wire podcast that we recorded just now on the Fantasy Pros Football podcast, the main podcast here. I said Jameis Winston's agent needs to get on the phone with LASIK and, like, queue up a sponsorship, a partnership, like, what right now. Right now. This has to happen, because you're not going to find a better endorsement of LASIK than what Jameis Winston just did here against the Green Bay Packers. That final score was just bonkers. It was nuts. I think that Winston, and it's crazy too, because there is still the potential that he does turn into a reliable quarterback. Like, there is the potential for that, especially when you consider that I think the thing that I saw was Ty Montgomery was the only drafted receiver that he was throwing to, you know, yesterday. Like, that's just nuts. And so I think
he wasn't even really a receiver.
And right. Like, you know, it's Ty Montgomery.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think there is still the path where if we do have Traquan Smith come back and Michael Thomas come back, there's still the narrative. And this is what you're looking for in dynasty trades. You're trying to spin that narrative. It's not just as black and white as sending over a trade offer. There can be conversation here to kind of spin it and to be able to kind of influence the other dynasty manager's mindset. And so with Jameis Winston, you're able to say, you know what? There is a potential that he does become a reliable QB2, maybe even QB1 in dynasty leagues. I just don't know if that's going to be the case. There is still a wide range of outcomes here because it is Jameis Winston. We've seen this before, where we've seen some really high highs and we've seen some really low lows. So I agree with that call. I think if you can flip him for a more reliable quarterback, let's talk about that really quick though. Who would be a quarterback that you would say, like, okay, I'm going to sell Jameis Winston. I want to upgrade here. Are you going to, like, all the way up to a Ryan Tannehill? Do you think you can do that after this past week? Or who would be a target that you would be going after?
Oh, I think that's the perfect window to go for somebody like Tannehill. Because, you know, you got the situation with the Titans. They've been struggling with some COVID stuff. They struggled with COVID stuff last year, and they're doing it again. And I know if Tannehill was, I think he was vaccinated, but it still was kind of a mess. He was really looked out of sorts, just not being able to find Julio Jones. The offensive line was gross. Their offensive lineman that they had in the second round, I think this year, Dylan Raidens or Redunds, he was just a healthy scratch. Like, the offense for the Titans looks like a mess right now. So if you've got somebody who looks like a win now type team, I absolutely try to make that happen, because I think it's only up from here for the Titans.
Yep. All right. Let's move on to some buy low players that you did not see what you wanted to in week one, but we are going to still believe in them moving forward from a dynasty perspective. So let's flip it over to you here. Who was your first buy low target?
Keeping it at the Titans, just because why not? Derrick Henry, man. Like, he looked, it was not good.
Yep.
The entire offense was just out of sorts. Part of it's the offensive line. You know, some of the guys are missing time, Tannehill missing time, whatever. But Henry was just stuffed all day long. He had one kind of run. He broke maybe 15 yards, but it was a gross day. 17 carries for 58 yards, just over 3 yards per carry. But the thing is, there were 26 running backs in the league this past week that had three receptions. And for once, I can actually say that Derrick Henry was one of them. So I think he's going to see a little bit more passing work this year, and not just because they were coming behind. I think he's been working on that this whole off season. So I'm going to believe that he's going to have more receptions this year. So if somebody's panicking and thinking, oh, well, Derrick Henry's hit the age wall, he's 27, so now he's dead. Go take advantage if you can somehow.
That's the thing, right? Some people are going to listen to this and be like, you can't sell Derrick Henry. You can't get Derrick Henry right now. But there are people that were concerned into the year of Derrick Henry hitting that age wall. And if you can spin that where it's week one, you say, man, this could be it, but I'm willing to at least buy in. And you're not going to get him cheap, right? Like, you're not going to be able to
be
still going to be a premium price here for a player like Derrick Henry, but you can go get him right now. For me, I'm going to go, let's stick at the running back position. For me, I'm going to go with Ezekiel Elliott, because it's a lot of the same reasons here with Zeke. He had the toughest matchup imaginable in week one up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers run defense. They absolutely just shut down opposing running backs last season. And with Zeke, the game plan here from Kellen Moore was, we know we're probably not going to be able to run the ball super efficiently. Let's just attack them through the air. And guess what? It worked. They took the Tampa Bay Buccaneers all the way to a last second field goal. So I think moving forward, there are better days ahead for Ezekiel Elliott. But it's the same kind of thing with Derrick Henry, where there were concerns. What was the Zeke that we saw at the end of last year? Was that actually Zeke, right, with Andy Dalton? Because there was a dramatic drop-off from the Ezekiel Elliott that was playing at the beginning of the season with Dak Prescott to then Andy Dalton. The fantasy production fell off a cliff. So there was the concern hanging in fantasy managers' minds of, what Ezekiel Elliott am I going to get this year? And if they do not understand that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers run defense is just absolutely ridiculous and that you probably shouldn't even try to run on them, then this is your opportunity to go buy Ezekiel Elliott before he explodes again. He looked good. Like, I don't know about your opinion there, but he looked good. Like, it just was that he was not getting the opportunity that he will in future games.
Yeah, exactly. And in every aspect of the game, he looked good. Like, even in pass protection, he was lighting up blitzers. Like, he's going to be the every down tight back that you can trust when they actually decide to feed him the ball. Right. So that's going to be coming here soon.
All right, let's go back to you for your second buy low player.
So it's really hard. There were like a billion wide receivers I wanted to go with. I think the easiest name, though, is Brandon Ayuk. Like, obviously, that's a buy.
This kind is of crazy, player. Man. This situation's nuts.
I can't even begin to explain what's going on with why he's not, the focal point, I guess, outside of George Kittle, there as a target, because he's the best option. But so no. Trent Sherfield or whoever else you want to say is going to get more snaps than Brandon Ayuk, that's not going to be the case for very long at all. So I'm not too worried, and somebody is going to see that his value is cratering or whatever, and you can probably take advantage right now.
Okay, so let's go back to my player that I talked about at the beginning with Tyler Lockett. Would you make that trade? If you had Tyler Lockett and you wanted to go get Brandon Ayuk, would you be selling Tyler Lockett for Brandon Ayuk?
If I was trying to pivot and get younger, if I was not in a position to absolutely for sure win this year, I would say yes. That's very close for me, because Lockett can be super efficient despite just the fact that he only saw 5 targets this week. So that's right on the fringe. If you go any higher, I'd probably say no. But yeah, I'm still a believer in Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, that was the thing for me. It was like, as I was saying it, was like, man, I don't know if I could do that. I might be looking to add on like a second round pick, a third round pick to that with Ayuk, because there is some tremendous risk with that. Again, that Lockett could potentially be this like super efficient and high level wide receiver all season long. And that Ayuk, Kyle Shanahan has some sort of vendetta against him and he never sees the field again. Like, I don't know what is going on there, man. All right, I'm going to stick at the wide receiver position as well. I'm going to go with an Indianapolis Colts wide receiver that I have just been super high on ever since he was coming out of USC. So I'm going to go Michael Pittman Jr. here as a player that I am buying low. Coming into this season, there were some sky high expectations for Pittman, right? Okay, he's arguably the wide receiver one in this offense now. No T.Y. Hilton. He's on injured reserve. Paris Campbell still dealing with this like Achilles injury. It looks like it's going to be Pittman. And there's the possibility that Carson Wentz just locks onto him. And we didn't see that in week one here. And the touchdowns go to Zach Pascal, which is concerning, right? But I think with Pittman, I am still buying into the talent. And that's what we want to do from a dynasty perspective. I saw someone put this out on Twitter recently, and I wish I could remember who it was, because it was a great tweet. It was, you buy opportunity in redraft leagues, you buy talent in dynasty leagues. Yeah. So with Pittman, I think that he still has the opportunity, but with he also has just a tremendous talent. And so you're going to buy low here for a player that managers might have had a higher expectations for in week one. It didn't come to fruition. This is your opportunity to buy low if you're looking to acquire Michael Pittman Jr.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that there was a lot of context. Me being a RotoViz writer, we love production profiles and early breakout ages for prospects and such. But there was a lot going on at USC and injuries that he struggled with. And when he finally had the opportunity, he absolutely smashed for USC. And I love his physical traits. He's got the size and speed really to make a difference. Can separate, can do everything so well. So I'm definitely buying low on Michael Pittman.
Yep. All right. So let's go to you for your third buy low player.
Sure. And I guess I'm adding players here, but it's really two quarterbacks. I think I've already seen some just horrible takes about Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, he threw three picks in his first game, but he also threw for 330 yards and three scores in his very first pro action. So I already saw some people talking about him being clearly the worst of the five relevant quarterbacks in this rookie class. And it's just like, man, that's a really quick hand to just smack him with. I don't understand that kind of overreaction, because we're talking about a guy who had like three 90th percentile plus passing efficiency seasons in a row in college. And he's got some mobility that he's going to be sneaky with all season long, all career long. So Trevor Lawrence, I'm definitely trusting in. And if anybody is even in the slightest knocking him for throwing three picks in his first action, I'm going to jump all over that. But Baker Mayfield is a guy who's kind of been polarizing back and forth throughout his career anyway. But anytime he fails, or anytime he does, you know, anything less than perfection, people like to pick him apart for whatever reason. But the dude averaged like 11 and a half yards per pass attempt against the Chiefs.
That's not an easy pass defense either, right?
No, it's not. No, he had a fantastic game. He didn't get the touchdown, so he had a bad fantasy day with like 11 and a half or 12 fantasy points, depending on the format. But seriously, I think he showed some of the best passing we've seen since college. And even as a prospect, there's a reason he went number one overall. He had a 99th percentile passing efficiency season at his peak in college. I think he's going to only get better, really, from this point on.
Yeah, let's talk about Baker really quick, because Ray Garvin was on here as a guest in the last episode, and he was saying this is your last chance to buy Baker Mayfield, because he's in line for a big season. And I loved what I saw from the Browns team, like the team as a whole this past week. You take the Kansas City Chiefs all the way into like deep into the fourth quarter, like you're a solid team that can compete deep into the playoffs. So the concern with Baker is, okay, where do the touchdowns go? That's the main concern. Like, there's very little predictability, I think, as far as Baker with, all right, it's a plus matchup, and, you know, week two he gets Houston. So it's like, okay, this is a fantastic matchup, one that you would love to play Baker in. But there's the potential that all four touchdowns that Cleveland scores goes to the running backs, like it did here in Kansas City. So I think that's going to still be kind of hanging over Baker. But again, this is the talent that you want to buy into. So I think
exactly why you can buy him low.
Exactly.
Because of that argument.
Exactly. So I think as a QB2 in a super flex format, that is the potential. That's a range that you can live with him, right? You can live with the ups and downs. He has the high highs. He has the low lows, where if the touchdowns do go to the running backs, but the offense is fantastic. So yeah, I think that that's a fine call there. And with Trevor Lawrence, if you can find anyone who is already like just shaky on Lawrence, yeah, you go buy him. Like this is the opportunity. So for me, the final player that I will mention here is a part of the Green Bay Packers offense. And you might look at what happened here on Sunday. You might want to be like, I don't want any piece of this Green Bay Packers offense if it's going to look like that. Aaron Rodgers just did not look like Aaron Rodgers. But I'm going to go with Robert Tonyan here. With Tonyan, I think he is especially when you're looking at the tight end position, where once you have the top five or six options from a dynasty perspective, you are really just looking for opportunity, and you're just kind of grasping at straws for anyone else outside of that range. And with Robert Tonyan, we've seen that he has the potential and talent and chemistry with Aaron Rodgers to be top five fantasy tight end. Like, we've seen it happen here last season. So in a game where he did not come through for fantasy managers that might have had some really high expectations for him heading into this season, he gets the Detroit Lions here in week two. I'm expecting a fantastic performance from Robert Tonyan here this week. That means that this is your opportunity to buy low on him before he has this massive game. So I wanted to make sure that we mentioned Robert Tonyan, because it can't get worse than what it was yesterday.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, so Robert Tunney, one of those guys that I think you can flip for. Yeah, you can get him super, super cheap right now, because people are panicking a little bit on him.
Yeah, and people do that with tight ends, right? It's like, if he's not, if he doesn't smash for two scores, there's something wrong with him. Like, because every other week, it's another set of dozen tight ends that have a big back end tight end one type week, and then they disappear next week, and they're the ones that everyone's down on. So it's just a cycle.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you score a touchdown at the tight end position, then you're a top 12 tight end. Like, that's just the way that it works. So absolutely. There is some unpredictability. You want to be able to get those guys who do have the consistency, and I think that Robert Tonyan does have that. All right, let's move on here to a dynasty waiver wire pickup. So this section of the show each week will just be us pointing out a player that is super low on Dynasty waiver wire rostership percentages. And we're just going to be pointing out a player that we are saying, if you've got the space on the bottom of your roster, this might be a player that is on the way to a breakout. Who is a player here that you want to highlight that you're saying, man, if he's on the waiver wire in my Dynasty league, I'm going to grab him?
Okay, so easiest decision for me, if you are in more of a shallower Dynasty League, I would say Anthony Schwartz with the Browns. So I actually had a couple leagues where he completely made it through the rookie draft.
Right, I was just about to say that.
Even though he got the day two capital, but I was like, you know what? I know this guy. I mean, I know him really well. I'm a rookie nerd. I'm a college football nerd. He's going to squeak through because he had a trash production profile on paper. But the guy runs a 10.07 in the 100 meters. He just saw 5 targets in his first action, including some really pivotal ones in big moments where he made big plays. Even on the failed deeper target late in the game, right before the interception with Baker Mayfield, he actually had another deep target from him. There was a slight miscommunication earlier in the game where if he would have just turned upfield, Schwartz would have had a score. Like, he would have had over 100 receiving yards had he just turned the right way. So Anthony Schwartz is a guy I'm all over. Loved him as a prospect. You know, Auburn just really misused him. They had a really odd offense that in college football circles is called the Gus Malzahn putt-putt offense. run sideways instead of vertically. So they just wasted the speed that Anthony Schwartz has. He is as fast as Tyreek Hill. Yeah. So I'm going to be jumping all over Schwartz anywhere I can from the waiver wires and in trades. I don't care if somebody tries to overcharge right now. I don't care because it's going to be less than what he's going to be valued at 2 months from now. And he just turned 21 like 8 days ago. Like, he's super, super young. He's going to get better. He's going to develop. And he already has something going with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I was going to mention that. Like, he was going through in 4-round rookie drafts. Like, he was going through all the way to the waiver wire. He was still sitting there. So I guarantee that for the majority of leagues that are listening to this Dynasty podcast, I guarantee that he is out there on your waiver wire. Go scoop him up. Another player that I know is on your Dynasty League waiver wire is KJ Osborne, the wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings. The reason why I'm at least intrigued here with Osborne. Now, I watched him coming out of college. I was not super impressed. I don't know where you landed on him, if you even had the chance to watch him, but I wasn't super impressed. I thought that he had a role as a special teams player in the NFL, but not anything that was going to make an impact for fantasy football. So I had him buried in my wide receiver rankings coming out that year. And now with Osborne, like, that was not the player that showed up in this past game was not the player that I saw on tape. He has developed, and I think 9 targets in this past game. You can't ignore that. So he's someone that I'm at least intrigued to be able to add to the bottom of my Dynasty bench, a player that I think that I might just be completely out on and willing to cut for KJ Osborne is Russell Gage. Like, Russell Gage, 2 targets in this one. This Atlanta offense just looks absolutely terrible. That might come back to bite me here later on, but KJ Osborne has a high ceiling based on what I saw here this past week. Russell Gage, I know that he doesn't have that same high ceiling. So I think KJ Osborne is a guy that I am willing to add to the bottom of my Dynasty League waiver wire Dynasty League bench just to see what happens here off the waiver wire.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you can get those guys that come out of nowhere. And part of it is just finding the right team, right? That doesn't care what your draft capital was. That doesn't care about anything besides what can you give to me today? Like, that's how Adam Thielen happened. He's not getting any younger. So they're going to need somebody else to step up alongside Justin Jefferson here soon. So not a bad speculative ad at all.
Yeah. And, you know, you don't have Irv Smith in this offense this year. Tyler Conklin's a tight end. Like, they might be running a ton of 3 wide receiver sets, which is out of character for a Mike Zimmer offense. But that is the case. Then Osborne's going to be on the field. He has a chance to see those level of targets moving forward. All right. That is going to do it for today's show. Travis, thank you so much for coming on, man. Greatly appreciate you carving out some time out of your busy schedule to stop watching college football for a second and to stop watching some tape. Appreciate you jumping on, man. What do you got going on there at RotoViz? Anything that you want to talk about? What's coming up for you?
Yeah, man. So right now, every single week, I've got some college football DFS work that I do. So wherever that is legal in the States, that's a lot of fun to dive into. But I also do the NFL Prospects Weekly Series. So, like, all throughout the college football season. I'm already looking ahead to the 2022 NFL draft and beyond at every single position. So that's what I'm outlining every single week there. And really, I've got a bunch of stats-driven work over at thesolidverbal.com too, doing some college football work with them. So if you want to get one step ahead of all your league mates on the next generation of playmakers that are going to be in the NFL here soon, you can find my work over at RotoViz on the College to Canton podcast and solidverbal.com.
Love it, man. Thank you again so much for carving out some time. He can be found on Twitter at FF_TravisM, just as a reminder. All right, that'll do it for Travis May. I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.